Shalom to all. God bless the faithful who seek greater things in Christ. For it's His word and His glory. And to seek out the wisdom that comes from above, it's the greatest thing any of us will ever do with our lives of these few years upon this earth. Brother Ryan here with you once more, and I pray that this week in some way I've been able to magnify the name of Jesus by sharing what I believe in so very strongly, a belief that we share together. But of course, the glory is the Lord's, being written so very long ago and contemplated before the beginning of time. I'm just here to say amen to these things, as are we all. We have so much to be thankful for in the lives that have come before us. As we've entered into the labors of those who were the witnesses and sometimes martyrs for the cause. And we hope in the generations to follow to be able to pass on the faith in Jesus' name so that they too will benefit from our testimonies and agreements. The old story, it's ever made new in the lives of the elect remnant seed who hold to the power of the holy name. So let's speak once more about Jesus. He's in His word, and in particular in the Psalms. So concerning the subject of Jesus in the Psalms, I'm grateful to Brother Andrew Peary and those who take strength from these devotionals. You are indeed the salt of the earth, as Jesus proclaimed to those who were partakers of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the world, as the Master Himself said to those gathered round about Him. Those people were just like us, not faultless, subject to the same types of personal conflicts and disagreements that we endure, but that doesn't mean they weren't heroes of faith. They most certainly were. And we can be like them, of the same heart, mind, and spirit, if we do two essential things, which is to love God and love one another. As love does rule the universe, spiritually speaking, of course, and it's the evidence of Christ living within. As love can be impersonated, mimicked for a short while, but it'll show in the end of what is real and what is not, as it did for one Judas Iscariot who turned betrayer. Whatever motives drove Judas to act as he did, out of greed or envy and other desires, we can be certain of this fact, that he lacked the quality of love within his heart for God and his brethren. That much we can be sure about. And I have often said I'd rather be around someone who knew nothing about the mysteries of God, but had the love of God within their heart, than to be around someone who knew all there was to know, but had no real Christian charity within. And to underscore all that, is righteous and holy, as we're taking a good long look at the prophetic content of the Psalms, as it leads us to the one of whom all scriptures speak of. There's always more to be realized in and of Christ. You just can't get to the end of an eternal, infinite being. So we're here to listen to the voice that called us to life, to see His hand at work in every way possible, to develop our own spirit. And life is such a precious gift. If we ask the question, what has God done for me? The answer is He's given you life and many other benefits besides, but life at the foremost of our being, and all the promised rewards that come along also, they matter greatly. For not only must we believe that God is, that He exists, but also we must believe He's a rewarder of the diligent seeker. So be diligent. Seek and ye shall find, so saith the Master. His understanding of revelation knowledge, it may not come to us all in one moment, but a lifetime of service to the King will have its crowns, and it will have its blessings, and it will have its rewards. That much I can assure. In Psalms chapter 69, in the devotional of yesterday, we put our attention to Psalm 69, especially the fourth verse where the prophetic content leads us to the experience of the Messiah, 1,000 years distant at the time of its writing. and that they hate me without a cause. But let's return to Psalm 69 and find yet even more of the vision that would lead to the coming of Emmanuel, our God is with us. In Psalm 69, from the 18th verse, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now one can readily see the connection in the verses that will reflect the life of Jesus in future terms. First, there's the plea to draw nigh unto my soul, even as it is that the underlying cry upon the cross of my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's found within these words as Jesus repeated the opening line of the 22nd Psalm. Or was it more this way, which I make this point frequently, I believe I did earlier in the year, but I'll repeat it here. Was it really more a case as in Psalms 22 of David quoting Jesus by prophetic inspiration some 1,000 years before the event? We place no limitations upon the Holy One of Israel, who was and is to come. Because how does one describe an eternal, infinite being, the very soul of truth itself? And where is it that that truth cannot be found? Truth's everywhere you go. Thus God is everywhere that one would go. As Psalms 139, verse 7 asks, where shall I go from thy spirit? If I flee from thy presence, if I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Jonah would have done well to take note of that before he fled to Tarshish, the farthest point of the compass that he knew of. But God found him, brought him back to finish his appointed mission, and we can all certainly take a lesson from that and carry out our mission in this life and reject stubbornness. For those who observe lying vanities do indeed forsake their own mercy. And as Samuel the prophet once said to the errant King Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen is better than the fat of rams. So as Jonah himself learned the hard way, we can take heart from his example and learn to do better in our own decisions. And thus the scriptures from many sources that derive inspiration from the same God form together to give us the big picture, so to speak, the entire scope of who and what God is. And in my particular case, there's really only a couple of things I ever do, whether it's in devotionals like this or in pulpit sermons. And that's just put the scriptures together, show how they connect to one another, glorify the name of the Lord thereby, and that's really all I ever do. And like any other minister, I've preached under hundreds and hundreds of titles, but the joy in any subject is in the showing of the magnificence of what God has done through the Word as written. So in a very real way, the only subject I've ever preached is one of how God's wisdom works together, and in the source of understanding that our Bible is, how it all just comes together in Christ. It's not just a source for inspiration, it's the source. So just make the gospel your spiritual center. That spoken then, very directly, these verses show the scene of the cross and what it went into it. The Redeemer felt exactly the need to be redeemed himself in verse 18, though he was Lord of all, and truly our God is with us by his Emmanuel commission, his authority as the Son of Man that Jesus oft referred to himself as. He knows what it's like to be in our position as a stone rejected from Psalms 118. And verse 21 here in this psalm clearly and it shows the moment of "I thirst" upon the cross. For it's written then, as it was here, a full millennia before the actual event, of how Christ would not take the vinegar there, being offered it, there at the moment before he yielded up the ghost of his spirit. So in examining these Psalms of David, we begin to get a sense of Christ's own experience. And certainly for David, this being a Psalm of David, David had many faults, but he turned out nonetheless to be a vessel that God could use to bring about a line of descendants that would lead to a birth in Bethlehem. And of David's transgressions, some of them would have never been, unless it was the will of the people to have a king. David never asked to be king. He never sought out kingship. He was loyal to Saul, the first and only king from the tribe of Benjamin over the house of Israel. On that subject, the Almighty God told Samuel the prophet that Israel had really rejected the Lord's rule in asking for a king. So what transgressions David had weren't entirely his fault, the situations of it. However, he was held accountable for his choices, once again, as are we all. In Psalms 72, in the first verse of Psalms 72, David pleads for the Lord's judgments concerning himself and all the royal house, which would include by this time his son Solomon, as at the heading statement of the song, it's declared as a psalm for Solomon. If your Bible includes those headings, some printings do and some don't. But there was much sorrow because of that situation that led to Solomon's birth in the matter of Bathsheba, which included the death of the child born before Solomon. But the admonishment would lead to wisdom and inspiration for the days ahead. And thus we find that in Psalm 72. And these matters, they certainly speak of David himself in the very personal matters at hand, but they're a parallel and witness of the condition of the Messiah, as David was also the one who received the covenant promise of 2 Samuel chapter 7 that would establish the house of my name that came to pass in Christ. So everything David relates here, you look for Jesus within his words. And from Psalm 72, and from the first verse, which reads, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son," as the plea goes out from David for his son Solomon. But of course, these things will show patterns of the faith that would rest within the heart of a Savior in Christ. And that shows from verse 2, "As he shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations." So plainly, David in the prayer song for his son, but plainly the scope goes beyond that, for it is to endure throughout all generations. Thus the request for Solomon takes on greater meaning in being spoken to for the ages to come. And that means the Messiah messenger, the branch that would come forth in Christ. As there are layers of righteousness that are embedded within the scripture, as indeed Jesus said in Luke 24 and verse 44, "For everything that's written," and in particular to this study, "that which was written in the Psalms was of me." So Solomon, of course, in his life, as you're aware of, he would fall short of the glory of God, as is the manner of all humanity, but Jesus did not. He filled up to the measure of the request in an eternal way. He's here in these prophetic outlines, in these promises. "Seek him while he may be found." And we find him in verse 19, just before the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. In Psalm 72:19, it's written, "And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen and amen. That clearly goes beyond the life of just Solomon himself. So thank the Lord for those that are blessed in his name, who are filled with light because of the great amen that Christ is. So in closing, just keep that gospel lamp burning. May the Lord abide with you all forevermore in Jesus' name. Shalom, and peace be unto the house of all the saints of God. God bless you, everyone.